for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you. This is the 2012 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, September the 2nd, 2012, Richard Tate is the speaker of this service teaching on Jesus' Love Changes You.
Just help me, Jesus. Going 9 different ways, and I'd just like to go one. If we can just get one going, I'll be happy. Amen. There's some good places. And I always say this, and everybody knows me, pretty much knows I say it. The good is the enemy of the best. And sometimes people get caught in the good for a long, long time and miss the best. Just miss it. Because God has something better than what they were in. And what they were in was good and would probably be the best for someone else who He's got there as their best. Not that they're only good enough to be that best, but that's the place where they are going to be the best. And He called us out of there. Boy, He called us out of a lot of places. Boy, here we go. All right. I got to read this stuff first. I can't. I just can't be flying around. Actually, John. We're going to do John first. We'll do John 1:1. There's a thing that we have to be careful about. And it has to do with the love of God. So many times, so many places we've been to where, I'm not going to say His love's become common, but it's become human. And we end up with a human Jesus. And we end up with human love. And there are some cults. We were involved with one, not involved, try to get somebody out of one for a while. It was the highest form of natural love I've ever seen in my life. It was all for one and one for all. I mean, they had everything in common. And yet it wasn't, in its best form, it was natural. It wasn't God's love at all. And He's not walking along the seashore no more. Said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That's Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews 1:1. God who at sundry times in diverse manners. You're going to hear more scripture from me than you ever heard before from me. Have in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Big S. Whom He have appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. I'm so tired of this Jesus, the God of the New Testament. That's such nonsense. He's the God of the whole Bible. You can't divide God into new and old. The God of wrath and the God of love. You can't do that. It's just that everything He did in love. God is love, but love ain't God. And there is a difference, a huge difference between God being love and love being God. And there's a big difference between the agape love of God and our natural love. A big difference. And He ain't wanting to leave us where we're at. He wants us to bring us up. He's not wanting us to bring Him down and make Him so human that He can become common and we can treat Him like we can do anything we want to. God looks on the inside. I get so tired of hearing that sometimes it scares me. It scares me. Like we have no accountability. People ask me why I wear a suit when I minister. I said, because I respect God. Not just me. Now, I don't preach it to anybody. But I'm telling you, if I want to see somebody really important, I ain't going to dress my shorts and my flipper-floppers, what do they call them these days, you know? I'm going to dress. And I ain't knowing too many people that don't. So when I come to see the King, and I believe He's here, the King is here, not going to be here flying around, so He's here. I believe there's angels on every empty seat. I believe that with all my heart. I was telling Eddie with all the seats, I said, man, we got a lot of angels here tonight. I'm liking that. You can hear the flutter sometimes. Believe me. You know, it's not mystical stuff. They're here. They're here. But I honor Him. Because that's who I am. I had somebody tell me, not this camp, maybe a camp, he said, yeah, you're a legalistic bondage to that tie. I said, I think you're in bondage to what you're wearing. Well, I said, because you look like everybody else. I said, I'm the only one here that's different. So don't tell me I'm in this thing. I said, I don't know. Looks good in my shirt. You know, covers up my tummy. You know, I'm fine with who I am. And I'm saying, you're fine with who you are. Just don't try to make me into who you are, and I won't try to make you into who I am. And we'll all be happy, because Jesus is going to make us into who He wants us to be. It said, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. You ever wonder what God looks like? And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Man, I mean, you know why He's such a... because that was His place. He wasn't usurping anything. Nobody had to ask Him to go there. That was His place. It was His place before everything began. He just came back and sat down in His own chair. It wasn't like, you know, it had His name on it. I mean, He knew who He was. He wasn't trying to get something or be somebody He wasn't. He was just who He was. That's where I was before Him. I'm back. You know, like I went down for a trip. I'm back now. And here I am. I've went into the Holy of Holies. I've taken a sacrifice and I've done it all. And I'm back. Being so much better than the angels, as He has an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time? He, who? God the Father. Jesus, I'm not a one this thing where He jumps up and down from the top of the throne to the bottom. I said, boy, that's confusing. Confusing. He has a Father, it said in the last day. He's going to turn everything over to His Father because that's how the Godhead is. That's who the Godhead is. We were talking the other day with somebody who said the greatest power in heaven is the power of weakness. It's the greatest power in heaven. It's the power of weakness. And you see that exemplified in Him. He depended not on Himself at all, although He had a will. And it wasn't bad. It was good. It was perfect. But it wasn't His Father's. It was as a Son of Man. And He would have been great. I was talking to him. I said, man, what it must have been like growing up in that family. Woo! Man, every time he did something wrong, there he was doing it right. He never got mad out of line. Oh, man, that would have been terrible. I mean, just think about that. Well, think about that if Jesus moves in with you. You know, it's wonderful getting married. Nice being on a honeymoon. But let me tell you, when it's all over and you settle down, you find out what the real deal is. And living with Him is a bit different than honeymoon, and believe me, you know. He just starts pointing and thinking, I don't like that, that, and that, and that. And we're living together and you ain't moving out. So there you are. So lots of us, we just void the whole thing when it gets over the honeymoon. First time we hit a bump, we just kind of back up and try to find us a place where we can be comfortable. And we assign Him a place where we're comfortable with Him. We make Him into a person that we're comfortable with. And it's sad. Because when we do that, we stop Him from being able to do anything with bringing us up to where He wants to bring us to. He can change us, but not into what He wants to. Because His change is going to bring change one of two ways. When God deals with you, you're going to get changed. Now, good or bad, nobody ever met Jesus and stayed neutral. Nobody ever stayed neutral. Something happens when you meet the Master. Somewhere in there it says that. It says again, when He bringeth the firstborn into the world, He said, let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He says, their angels are ministering spirits, and they're a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness. Well, I was thinking that the other day, we were singing with Kyle. Man, righteousness, what I need. My holiness, I need righteousness. I don't even know if I know what righteousness means, what it really means. I said, that's the word, so it's mystical, you know. But I said, I know I need that. I need righteousness. Righteousness. I'm standing and I know I'm righteous in Him. Not imparted, but worked in, there, living to where I'm not trying to be righteous, but I am righteous. The most holy men I've ever seen. I knew a couple. Never knew they were holy. Didn't have a clue. So unassuming. Because He'd worked such a work that it was so natural. It was just part of them. And they didn't know they were being any different than anyone else. What they were. And sometimes it was tough being around them. You know, because it wasn't all smiles. Sometimes with me, it was comeuppance. Is that a word to use back here, comeuppance? Anyway, it was comeuppance. And And a lot of times my wife would not stand on my side when I was getting come up. You know? I kind of felt like I was ganging up on sometimes, you know. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, before we got married, I sat down with a best friend and I gave her all the reasons what, you know, that Mara needed to change. And the lady looked at me and she says, you know, Richard, she says, I really think that as head of the house, he probably wants to change you first. Now, that is not what I wanted to hear. Because I knew the problems in our relationship was just her. If she'd just be a little more and a little less, we'd be fine. And when she said that, I thought, what are you talking about? I know I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good, you know. And, but God was trying to deal with me. And I wasn't listening to him too good. So he sent somebody by to give me a word to just slap me in the face. I said, and a woman at that. And this is a time when the women are being taught to submit. And they're telling me, I need to change before God, before they have to change. Now that's terrible. But it was true. You know, it was true. Somebody said that about the president, pardon me. You can't lead from behind. And that's the truth. You have to lead from the front. But sometimes you start out at the behind. You've got to get through the front. And it's a process. Thank God you know that he's merciful. He's merciful. Says, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. He's talking about Jesus. You know, we read that, but do we really see he really did this stuff? Golly, I thought it was pretty neat when he was calming the sea. And here he really did this stuff. The heavens are the works of your hands. They'll perish, but you remain. They will wax old like a garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said at any time, sit at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You know, we're going to run into that Jesus one of these days. And I'll tell you this, it'll happen to you before you leave this earth. And I'll give you some scripture proof. I'm pretty good at getting scriptures to prove things. If they don't, I won't have them in there. Revelation 1:8. And I'm going to skip some and cut some and paste a little. And it says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. That's Jesus. Which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, verse 10, and heard me a great voice as of a trumpet. And I cut some out, and it says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, here's the description of what I saw. His head and his hairs were like white like wool. Now this is the guy that he laid his head on his breast. This is his partner. This is the one he loved. They were so close, they were almost inseparable. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet likened to fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as sun shineth in strength. As the sun shineth in strength. And then verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And you know, I was so scared, I lost everything. I dropped. I did worse than fainting. I collapsed at the image that I saw. It was so terrifying to me. Terrified me. Like Moses up on the mountain. Terrified me. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. He is God indeed. In all his splendor. Now. See, somehow we got him caught between his going and then he's coming back somewhere, and he's kind of in limbo with us. Because there's a love of God that is so much greater than what we've experienced. Part of our problem is we don't know how to comprehend the real love of God. I'm going to give you an example. I might be done pretty quick, but I'm going here. In John, and I've done this, you know, most of you know it. Anyway, I've done this a lot of times. But I just like it so good because I love the King James, and this is so not King James. I'm going to read this in a free translation, and I just wrote the translation, so you know it's really free. This is when they're out there fishing. Remember, and Peter jumps off the boat, and he was a little quick, and then they get in there. And then they have this discourse between Jesus and John, or Jesus and Peter, pardon me. And this is how it goes. I'm going to give it to you how it is. Okay, this is, you can take this to the bank. You look up the Greek on this. It says, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now listen to this, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me with the love of God, because the word is agape, more than these? Do you love me with the love of God more than these? Peter answered him and said, yeah, Lord, you know, I love you like a true friend. You're my partner. I like you. Oh, man, I love you like a friend. There ain't nobody I like better. Maybe John. But you're close. You're right in there. You're the top. So then Jesus turns around again. He says, and he told him to feed his lamb. He said, turn around again. Second time he says, Simon, do you love me with the love of God? And Simon said, you know I love you as a friend. The word is phileo. And that's wonderful. You know, he's saying what he wants. And Peter is answering with what he can give. He knows Greek, so he knows what the words mean. But he's answering with what he's got. This is all I got. So I can't tell you I love you with this stuff because I don't even know what it's like. But I love you with this stuff because this is all I got. And then Jesus does something that we think and sometimes is out of character, but it is so in character. He says, Simon, do you love me like a good friend? And Peter said, sure I do. And he got mad. But see what Jesus did, said he's not afraid to come down to our level. So that's what he did. He said, okay, I'll go down and we'll do it on your level. And then he kind of smiled because he's not going to leave you there. You know, I'm going to come down and love you right where you're at, just like you can do. But he said, that's just going to be a beginning. Peter said, wow, we're in now. Now I can do this. I can give him everything I got because that's what I have. And then, you know, of course, you know, later on he talked about how you suffered for Jesus and, you know, and a lot of things he went through. But he was not afraid to lower himself, to put together or redeem a relationship. And he's not afraid of the truth from you. If you don't think you love him, he ain't afraid of you if you're telling me, I don't think I love you. I went through that with him. Oh, my goodness. I said, you know, I'm singing a song like I'm lying. I said, I appreciate what you did for me. I'm thankful. I think I like you. I don't know you very well, but I know I don't love you. And I was looking like, I know I don't love you like I love my wife. And that's a human, you know, that's a human vessel there. So I know that's not right. And he spoke to me and he said, that's okay. And that kind of surprised me. He said, we can start there with the truth. And we'll build from there. You know, that's such a liberating thing to know that he's not intimidated or wiped out by where I'm at. It doesn't shake his boots. He's willing to come down there and be in that relationship at that level with me. I found out that at the spiritual level that you have a problem fellowshipping with somebody, that's probably where you're at. I have a friend of mine that can fellowship people up in the air and down at the bottom, but she doesn't have a clue. Doesn't have a clue. About people that are just got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, just beginning it. She just doesn't have a clue. Can't understand them. Cannot fellowship with them. She's either trying to get them up, you know, or somewhere maybe they're down below where she can talk to them. I'm working with some people right now. I play pickleball. Anyway, nobody knows what that means. But anyway, I do play it. And I'm in YMCA, Baptist churches, Nazarene churches, First Baptist Church, Holy Ghost Baptist Church. Oh, I'm all over. And I'm with Lutherans, Baptists, all these people. And I found out, you know what's important? The blood of Jesus. Because every one of them, we can get to the blood. Baptists are a little tough on getting saved. But, you know, but we can do that. With the blood of Jesus, we got common ground. Instead of saying, and then now, one of them, in fact, her son was I won't go into it, was a Navy SEAL, and they wrote a book about him, and he's famous. He's a legend in Iraq and Afghanistan. A legend. Anyway, he got killed. Anyway, and when she asked me where I was from, so I told her right now. I just didn't. I said it. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. So she went to church, and the next week, I said, "Hi, how you doing?" "Hello." Yeah, like about 3 weeks, she was, "Hello." You know, but then she saw that I didn't do whatever we're supposed to be doing out here. And, and pretty quick, it all kind of faded away because she saw that I was really a human being, you know, just a person. And I wasn't trying to get them to all talk in tongues and see if they could do something, get them delivered. I just trying to be their friend and just be friendly, actually. Because when you're playing a sport, it's kind of hard to be real friendly. But, because you're trying to win sometimes. And that was the first thing the Lord did with my life. When I got saved, the first thing he told me, "I'm taking the sword out of your hand." And I thought, yeah, well, okay, you know, but I didn't understand what he meant. See, he says these things to us, and we don't understand. He didn't just mean the sword. He meant the sword any way it turns. He didn't just mean your enemy. He meant friends, too. He meant your wife, too. He just meant no more competition. Oh, they had a league, and they have me in a league, and I played one day. I said, "Nah, I'm out of here. I don't do this." "Why?" I said, "I can't do this." "Why?" I said, "Because I know who I am." I said, "You took a sword out of my hand." I said, "When I competed before, which I did all my life, I didn't smile. I didn't just want to beat you. I wanted to kill you. I mean, I never played pool. I played pool all the time for money. And I wouldn't play for free. If there wasn't something I could get from you, I wouldn't play." I said, "When he took a sword out of my hand," he said, "no more competition." So I played with people. Now some of them came and hit the ball. I said, "Yeah, we just have fun." I say, "If it's not fun for me, I'm not going to do it." Now, the league people don't really like me, most of them, because they said, "You're too good to be playing with those other people." But, you know, I found out that I have a great camaraderie with them because I can play. But I'm not intimidated to a place to where I'm too good to play with them, or I try to overwhelm them or try to do all this stuff. I said, you know, because Jesus is not that way. You know, he came down with Peter. Why can't I come down with these people? Why do I have to be up here and continuously trying to drag them up here when some of them are real happy where they're at? You know, they got that outer court. And it's a big place. And it's full of people. And it's for people that's their place. Not that God meant that place, but they chose it. And they love him. In Annie's visions, those of you that know about him, there was one vision where there was a bunch of people on a porch. They weren't in the building. They were on a porch. And she said, "Not on the porch." She says, "That's all of me they can receive. They can't receive the revelation of me inside this holy building. They need me more human." So they're on the porch. She says, "But they love me and I love them. We're fine, but that's all that they can receive." Now that's why I'd say, you know, we need to pray, "Lord, change me. Make me be willing for you to change me. Change me. Don't leave me like I am. Change me." Because he's a great God. And he has great plans for his people. Especially the people of today. And we're so caught up in our horizontal stuff, we're missing the good show. The good show is in the vertical. Man, the good show is when you're standing there seeing stuff happening, you wonder, how is this happening? Like you're involved in it, but you're a bystander. He's just reaching out and doing things. How did that happen? You know, how is that happening? I'm not doing anything. That's how my messages are. You're lucky I had notes at all. You know, I normally can't even get a note. I'd come up here hoping I get a scripture. I said, "God, could I have one scripture, just something to kind of throw out there and act like I'm spiritual or something?" You know, because it just isn't that way. I would love to be able to sit down and do all these notes, come up and just, "Oh, that'd be great." He said, "Not for you, kid. No, you're not going to get that road. It's just not for me. Too much security. I wouldn't have to depend on him. I could just depend on the word, and I get it all down here, and I can read it to you." I got a letter from my brother who got saved at 70 years old, and his girlfriend or whatever she is sent me a thing in the mail, and it's 7 pages long, and they ask him to preach. Well, anyway, so this is 7 pages, and it's not notes, it's his message. I said, he had to read this. This isn't like a note. I said, this is the whole thing. I said, I can never do that. I said, be way too much security. I can never own a home. Way too much security. He knows me. Now I'm dealing with something in this camp meeting. It's just come up and smack me right in the kisser. I mean, right up against me. And it's pride. And I've been so afraid of it for so long because I've seen, in my few years I've been around, I've seen so many ministers get caught in it. And not only ministers. Believe me, I've seen some pretty good people who, well, whatever they were, get caught in it, you know? So I've went the other way, and I mean, I've really went the other way, two people this week got me, you know, giving me compliments, and I'm like, don't do that. You know, I'm almost like, oh. And I was by myself, just minding my own, like you'll hear me, minding my own business. And all at once I heard this, you know, pride's on both ends of that spectrum. You better be careful. You might get proud that you're not proud. You know, you might get proud that you're not going for that stuff. So I said, goodness gracious, you mean we're going to talk about balance again? Yes, we are. We need a little balance. See, my wife and I were just givers. We never had, and I'll be truthful with you. I ain't preaching, I'll be truthful. All right. That's probably not a joke. But anyway, we never had anything from the day we got married. Well, we got on our honeymoon, we had $200 in her credit card. Her credit card, because I didn't have any credit. Anyway, but we never had anything. And I tried to buy homes, and you know, and God asked me if I thought he needed another home, to own another home, and went to that thing. And I found out he didn't need to own another home, so probably I didn't either. And, you know, the thing was that we never had anything, but we've always been givers. And I'm not saying that with any kind of thing. It's just been the way. We get our income tax check, we put it out there and say, there it is. Now you just, can you leave us a little something? You know, because he would just say, this goes here, this goes here, this goes. Sometimes the people we weren't even involved with, this is what you do. And we never thought it was ours. What was still left was ours, and we could do whatever we wanted to with whatever was left, if there was anything left. And we've always been that way. But we had a real difficult time receiving. Almost kill us. Because we've never, we just trust God. God says, but sometimes I bless people, bless you through people. Yeah, but can't we do it some other way? I'll give you an illustration. We were up in Washington State, and visiting a friend that was up there with three kids on welfare. Kind of neat thing up there they do, as liberal as they are. When they put you on welfare, they don't rent you a home. They build you a home with the title in your name. It's yours. They found out that it was cheaper in the long run to do that. And they don't put you in a nice... They put you on the country. That's where you're at. The land's cheap. And because they say it's cheaper than putting them in these flea traps and have these people charge these exorbitant rates. In the end, we lose money and there's nothing of value for anybody there. At least this way they have a home for their family. And so we're up there and... So her and Mar were going to go out for lunch. Now, so I'm stuck with a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and one in diapers. That's where I'm at. Anyway, I'm to stay at home, whatever. And that's another story. Anyway, that was an experience. But so they go out, and they have this nice lunch at this nice, not an expensive restaurant, but a nice restaurant. And in the end, and Diane says, okay, I'm going to pay for it. And Mar says, no. Not paying for that, you know. I know your situation, and you know you're not doing that. We got some money, a few bucks. We do this, you know. And he went back and forth, and man, the Lord told Mara, says, if you stop her from paying for your lunch, you're stopping me from blessing her. And Mara says, but she's on welfare. If you stop her from paying for your lunch, you're going to stop me from blessing her. And it changed my wife's whole attitude concerning receiving and giving. Didn't change mine. We had that. It went for a long time. I still have a real hard time with it, receiving. It's just real hard. Probably pride. Pride seems to be everywhere, you know. No matter how you go up or down, it gets you. It's just there, you know. It's just always there. If it isn't a pride of life, it's a pride of something. Pride of your car. Pride of something. Jesus saying, you know, I always say, are there golf courses in heaven? Because if there is, you're going to be proudest if you're closest to the good golf course. I said, there can't be, because he's not going to have any pride up there, so they can't have that kind of stuff. Because he's calling us into places that we've never been before. we can't find in here some of these things. We're finding what we can understand them. We're a new generation. I don't know if we're the last. I don't think I want to be the next one. I think this is fine for me. I'm real happy at the age I am. I remember when I wasn't, and I thought, oh, I'd like to be younger and go on. And I said, right now, I said, I'm fine where I'm at because it's going quite fast enough for me as it is. Because he's wrapping things up and he's calling out a people, and you're all part of that people. He didn't ask you. No, he birthed you. See, when he birthed you, that made you part of this generation. So you may as well get in. You know, now you come here, you get delivered, get all set free, and now what? What do we do now? What do we do? What do we do with this Jesus that paid such a price to bring us to a place where he can share his glory with us, where he can share his vision with us? You know, there was a time with the disciples where he said, I no longer call you servants, but now I call you friends because I'm beginning to show you what I'm doing. He's going to bring a family into sonship. I'm not talking about manifesting. I'm just talking about he's going to bring a group of people into the Holy of Holies. And they're going to live with him in there. And they're going to feed people in the holy place. And we're going to feed people in the outer court. And we're available to be that people. But he is not going to decide. There's a key in here in John. It just really overwhelming. Here's how you tell the difference. I've read this probably 1,000 times, and I never saw this. It says, where are we at? We're somewhere. Oh, okay. After he got done, in talking to Peter in verse 18, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where you don't want to go. Then he says this. Interesting. He says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, which was John, and said, Lord, what about him? Well, I don't worry about what happened to him. But what got me was that John heard was, follow me. You know? He wasn't following Peter. He just heard Jesus said, follow me. He turned to Peter and said, follow me. And John heard, follow me. And that's where he went. There was no hesitation. There was no asking anybody else to go along. Let's get to group. How do you guys think? You want to go? Nothing with Peter. He just started following. If you got ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, have it open and have a yes in your heart that when he calls, I will follow. I won't ask where we're going, how we're going, who's going with us. See, Peter's big concern was, what about John? He's following. What about him? Peter missed the whole thing of what it was all about. John heard it and it wasn't even to him. But see, he said, I'll take some of that. All I heard, I didn't hear him say, Peter, he just said, follow me. And that's what it said. So he said, and that's good enough for me because I heard it. We need sometimes to have our ears pricked to where we can hear the Spirit speaking. But he's speaking softly. He isn't yelling anymore. He's speaking softly. To those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. To those that have an ear to follow him. To those that have an ear to go with him. Listen, the majority of the church isn't here because they're not interested. Not in deliverance. They're not interested in following. I'm dealing with some people there, and one of them, this little girl, she's just a sweetheart. Her and her husband, and they're so different. I didn't think they were married for a while. She got fibromyalgia, can hardly move. But she plays pickleball. She said, I'm a technical person. I've never done anything like this in my life. And she can't do it either. But I mean, but she's trying her best. But she's got a hunger for God. So I said, you know, I got a book you might like to read. She said, oh, yeah. And she's thinking probably from the First Baptist Church, but it's not. I said, she says, what's the name? I said, well, it's called Reese Howell Intercessor. You might like that book. Because she really talks about Jesus and wanting people to not only be saved, but to fall in love with him. To really know that he is loved, that he really loves a person and really cares. So I give her the book, and And then I got, what did I get? Somebody asked me, huh? Oh, so yeah, somebody asked me this week. If I talked to her yet and heard what you thought about the book, I said, well, I haven't seen her. I'll see her Tuesday probably. But I'm very careful about who I give this information to. If I don't feel I really got to, really, really open, I won't do it. Because I'm not looking to destroy the foundation that we have. I don't know why I'm there. I mean, it's good for my health. Best thing in my life for my health, really. But I mean, I had this man come up to me, and I'm going to close with this kind of funny. We have all these Christians, all these guys, and then we got what we call the heathen. And to be a heathen in this area is really bad. Because you got all these Baptists. Every time, hello, are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? I mean, I'm hearing that. These guys are like, get away from me, I went up to him. I was going to a conference. He says, well, you ought to be playing pickleball instead of going to some Christian conference. They're so hardened because they've just been shepherded. And right there, I hear people going, well, do you know the Lord, brother? Man, some of these guys, you shouldn't. But this guy hangs with him, so I figured he's a real bona fide heathen. And then one day, he sidles up next to me, and we're talking. He had an elbow problem. We're talking about that. And he says, it was just funny the way he did. He says, yeah, well, when my wife and I went to Lutheran Church this last Sunday, and I almost fell off my chair because I didn't even know he knew there was a church. But see, he was trying to make dialogue with me because he knows what I am and what I do. So he was trying to make dialogue, and I thought, God, it's amazing how you reach people and you draw people when we're not doing anything spiritual. I'm out there, they call me the pickleball. One of them calls me her pickleball preacher. I said, that's fine, But I'm not trying to convert anybody. They're supposed to be all converted, most of them. I'm not trying to. But it's just being yourself with them. Letting him step out. Not feeling you've got to step out, but not feeling you've got to move him. I find it's the best place just to let him move through you. When he wants to move, let him move. If he wants to say something to someone else, I remember a Yonggi Cho always saying, and when I saw him at a meeting, and I get real proud. He says, and when I'm going out, I say, and the Holy Ghost is going to the store. He said, that's how I talk. The Holy Ghost is going here. The Holy Ghost is going there. Because he is. Because he's in me. And I can't get founded on the fact that I'm going because I'm not the important one in this thing. He's the important one. So I say, the Holy Ghost is going here. So I better listen to the Holy Ghost when I get there. And if he wants to say something, I better be ready to let the Holy Ghost say something. I thought, how many times, you get an impression and you want to go say something, but you just don't. We just don't. We get embarrassed. We get intimidated. We get maundered, But in this day, there's people who want to hear. We talked about praying for people, and at restaurants, a wonderful time is when the waitress comes and say, well, we're just getting ready to pray for the food. Do you have any need we could pray for? Not say, are you born again? Because I have a friend around, that's the first thing. Do you know Jesus? I want to crawl on the table. I'm saying, they all know Jesus. You go, well, I haven't been to church in 14 years, but I'm all right. But what are you going to say? You're stuck. I'm saying, he better not ever say it to me when I wasn't saved. Like what he'd hear from me. But I said, it's an easy breaker to not bring religion in. Just bring a common need. Everybody's got somebody they want prayer for. There isn't anybody living that doesn't have somebody. And most of these people, I find these waitresses, they want prayer for themselves. They want prayer for their kids, because most of them, it seems like, are not married and they're raising families and doing the best they can. It's just an opening thing without going out and feeling like you're doing anything. Anyway, he's God. He's just as much God now as he ever was. And he wants to bring you to a higher place. Not in yourself, but in him. A place where you can fight the battle from a higher level. Where you can deal with bigger enemies. He doesn't want to leave us fighting the same battles with the same enemies. He wants to bring us up. And I just finish with this. I have a real problem with some people. I have a real problem with victims. Because I have people that tell me how, man, The devil's just all over me, and I'm not too good at that stuff. I just tell him, I say, I'm telling you this. If he's on your case like that, he must be scared to death of you. He must be terrified of you. I said, because I know one thing. If he wasn't terrified of you, he couldn't care less. He wouldn't be bothering you if he wasn't afraid of something. So he must be afraid. He must know that God's going to use you to hurt him real bad. That's why he's after you. He's trying to stop you. He's scared of you. But you know what I found out? It's a difficult thing for a person that wants to be a victim. It takes away their right to be a victim. I no longer can be a victim. Goodness gracious. I said, well, Jesus ain't got an army full of victims. More than conquerors doesn't sound like victims to me. You know? It says no weapon formed against you. It doesn't mean it ain't going to swing at you. You know? You can't get knocked down. Like Paul said in one translation, I get knocked down, but I don't get knocked out. I keep getting up. And as long as I keep getting up, I can't lose. Somebody said this, and I'm not sure who it was, but it might have been Jerry. I'm not sure. Said, it's not important whether you fall or not, because everybody falls. What's important is which way you fall. Do you fall forward, sideways, or backwards? The important thing is to make sure you fall forward when you fall. You fall into his arms instead of away. You fall into his arms instead of out, which is erroneous. You fall to something on the side that's going to make you feel like you're getting there where you're going, but it's not. It feeds your feed your flesh. Feed your fallen nature. Feed your head. But it doesn't take you anywhere. We're all going to fall. We all make mistakes. I tell people this. In Isaiah 1:18 it says, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. The word well means do good. And I tell them, don't worry about doing good. Just try a day ceasing to do evil. Just try that one on. See how that works for you. Just try a day of not doing anything bad. Just one day. And then you'll work in the good. I find out that there's really a lot of stuff I do that may not be bad for you or bad for anybody else, but they're bad for me with him. I can't get his approval of it. An attitude, a look. Feeling, letting my mind wander. With myself, it's been real bad thinking about my wife, how she used to be. It's been real bad. I love her, it takes me to real bad places because she's not that person anymore. And because she's not, I end up feeling real bad and crying all over the road and stuff. And I finally said, Richard, get a hold of yourself, you know. That person isn't anymore. You've got to do now and live now and move on. You can't do there because it's taking you to bad places. And for all points and, you know, in all reality, she no longer exists. So you've got this one and that's fine. But you've got to make a life for yourself straight ahead. But he says, I'll go with you. I'm not going to let you go alone. You don't have to worry about being by yourself ever. I will always be with you. Even when you're not doing good, I'm going to be with you. Of course, I'm going to be letting you know you're not doing good. But I'll be with you. I'm not going to desert you when you get in a lurch and trouble and you don't know which way to go. I'm there. He said, all you got to do is call out to me. Be sincere and call. I just pray, Lord, this people, Lord, that you'll give them rest from all the battles on all the sides. And give them peace. Give them a will to give to you, to say, I'm willing, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. No matter what, no matter how afraid I get sometimes, and I be real about it and get intimidated and all that. But Lord, down deep in my heart, I want to go with you. Jesus, deep down in my heart, I want what you want from me, whatever it is, and I don't even know sometimes, but I want it. Because I know you're good. I know you only want my best. I know if I leave my life in your hands, that only the best is going to come to me. And I know, Lord, there's a hurting world out there that's waiting, Lord. Waiting for that loaf of bread that you've been working on for so long that you're going to give to this lost world, Lord. A bread of life. And I want to be part of that loaf. I just thank you for each one that's here, Lord. I thank you that they came, Father. I thank you for the work you've done in their lives and what you're going to do. I thank you for the purpose and the will that you have for each one. Lord, they're not random. They just didn't happen to be there. They just didn't happen to be born. You ordained these things, Lord. All every experience, bad, good, or indifferent that we've went through has brought us to this place. And without these experiences, good and bad, we'd have never come to this place. I know myself, Father, if I'd have had the things my dad wanted me to have, I'd have never got saved. I'd have been successful, and who needs God? But all the stuff I went through just showed me I had a great need for God. And I know each one here has that same need. And you're the God that always hears the cry of his children. And I thank you, Lord. Be with us tonight, Lord. Give us a good rest. Bring us back at 6 a.m. Be with those that are traveling now, Lord, and those that will travel tomorrow, Lord. I just thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. In your name, amen. See you at 6 a.m. See you early.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.